How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 204 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, leave a review once you're on that page, and find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there. That includes for this week. I'm doing player evaluation still. Somehow this is still going on. There's so many. So we got 15 players, 15 days, 3 weeks worth of content, Monday through Friday. This week is, This week is the guards. So I've already got a bunch of those up. Russell Westbrook is concluding player evaluation week on Friday. By the time this podcast posts, I'm going to have the four guards up there. Last week was the bigs. The week before that was the wings. And I got all those up there. You can see those there on normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road. I've also got my content from Enes Kanter stuff up this week as well. And I'm going to have another Enes Kanter column going up on Friday as well. So I've got a lot of Enes Kanter stuff from all the crazy stuff. And I did a podcast talking about Enes Kanter and his passport and Turkish politics and everything else that you would need to know or want to know or have to know or anything along those lines about Kanter and the whole situation he had this weekend. I did that on Tuesday with Michael Pina. You can check that out wherever you're listening to this, I guess. Just on Tuesdays and Thursdays now, as I've done for the last couple of weeks. I'm going to go back in June to 3, 4, 5 days a week again. I still haven't fully decided what that's going to be yet. But at some point in June, I'm going to go back to 3, 4, 5 days a week. Today, as I did the last couple of Thursdays, doing a player evaluation episode again today. So a couple Thursdays ago, I did the wings. Before that, it was the bigs, and today I'm doing just the guards. So let's get into it. Let's start with Victor Oladipo. The Thunder turned him into a spot-up shooter this year. He was 37% on catch-and-shoot threes, 36% from three overall. Really good from the corners. He was about 42-ish, I think, percent from the corners. He was a lot better from the right corner than he was from the left, but still a really strong overall percentage from the corners. And he was good. I think people talk about him as being a disappointment. And he signed that $84 million contract extension, which didn't actually kick in. He kicks in this upcoming season, 2017-18, but he signed that $84 million contract extension over 4 years. So the Thunder are paying him like a guy who's more than just a 3-and-D guy. And this year, he was kind of just a 3-and-D guy, but I don't know if that's all on him. He had good spot-up numbers. A lot of that is on Westbrook and the fact that defenses were just collapsing in on Westbrook every time he hit the paint. And Oladipo was left open a lot in the weak corner in order to shoot those threes. And that helped his percentages a lot more than in Orlando. He shot a poor percentage on threes from above the break. I think it was 32% on threes from above the break. So those three-point numbers, that three-point efficiency, mostly came from the corners. And that's where the Thunder had him stationed. But I don't think that was the plan, and I don't think that's what they want him as in the future. I think there's a chance that we're going to see him play a little bit differently next year. Coming into this year, the Thunder, they weren't trying him early as a guy who's just going to play as a standstill guy off the ball in the corner. That wasn't what they were doing initially. If you go back, you watch those first couple of games, you watch some of the preseason games even, they're running Oladipo off pin downs, double pin downs. They're trying to get him open off the ball. He's handling it a little bit more maybe. Now, that's preseason. Westbrook is going to be a little more deferential then. But even in those first few regular season games, they're running off-ball actions for Victor Oladipo that they just kind of stopped doing after November. Wasn't quite working. Westbrook wasn't quite getting him the ball. The timing was off, and they kind of gave up on it quickly. And I don't know if they're going to go back to those same sets. I don't think they're going to go back to those same sets, because if they did, why would they have gotten away from them to begin with? But I think they're going to have a better idea of what Oladipo is, what Westbrook is, and his this current iteration of Westbrook is and how they can better work together. And I think the two of them will understand it. The organization will better understand it. Billy Donovan will better understand it. And they'll be able to run these better off-ball actions and more effective off-ball actions for Victor Oladipo when stuff just wasn't working early in the year. And they just kind of eliminated it and said, okay, you're going to go in the corner, and every once in a while, you'll get the ball in the wing, you'll get the ball at the top of the key, and you can try to create something. It usually turned into a mid-range jumper, and he had a really nice shooting season from mid-range, but obviously, you don't want a guy taking a ton of mid-range jumpers every time he gets a chance to isolate or run a pick-and-roll. It's just not what you want. But, you know, Sam Presti talked about in his end-of-year press conference how Victor Oladipo played only 2% of his minutes this year as a lead guard. Only 2% of his minutes this year as a lead guard in a situation where the Thunder had one of the worst backup point guard situations in the entire league, and still only 2% of his minutes as a lead guard. That's a surprising aspect of Victor Oladipo's season. There's no question about that. But I think that's going to change next year. I think he's going to get that opportunity more next year. They have to find ways to get him more involved. And it's not just because they're paying him a lot of money and thus he's taking up a lot of the cap. And it's not even just because I think he actually is capable of becoming a little bit more involved. It's not because he had a bad year. His defense was way improved this year. He had a really nice defensive season. He's better guarding off the ball. He's better chasing guys off screens. He doesn't gamble nearly as much. He's a better pick and roll defender because of it. He's pretty good fighting through ball screens. He plays hard when guarding the ball. He's very strong-chested. He'll bump guys. He'll use his feet to quickly get in front of guys, and he'll bump them with his chest. He doesn't use his hands all that much on defense. He used to use his hands a lot on defense. It would get him in trouble. Doesn't use his hands all that much on defense anymore. I think it's turned him into a solidly above-average defensive player. And he had a really, really, really nice defensive season this year. He was a big reason why the Thunder were 10th in points allowed per possession. But they got to find ways to get him more involved offensively. That's kind of the number one goal for the Thunder this offseason. That kind of leads me into the Russell Westbrook evaluation. Because that's the goal. It's changing the offense. Like, obviously, Westbrook, he had an amazing season, an historic season. He's going to win MVP. Everybody knows he's going to win MVP. You can check those Reddit documents, which are chronicling all the votes. He's going to win MVP. It'll happen. June 26th at the award ceremony, that's going to happen. He's going to win. Unbelievable season, and it'll be, obviously, a deserved victory for him. He's going to be the first guy to win MVP with fewer than 50 wins since Moses Malone did it in 1982. That obviously doesn't include lockout seasons because there were shortened years. Winners came from 50-win bases. Moses Malone, I think, won 46 games, was on a 46-win team, and won MVP. Russell Westbrook's going to do it on a 47-win team. It's a great accomplishment. But if he has the same usage next year, then it will probably be safe to say now. It's impossible to say for sure because you don't know exactly what's going to happen and how it'll go down. But if he has the same usage next year, it's not because, you know, it's one of those situations where everybody gets hurt or something like that. It will probably be safe to say that this offseason was a failure. And it's not necessarily about getting more weapons. It's not. And this is kind of what I was getting to with Oladipo. It's not necessarily about getting more weapons. It's about adjusting the personnel that they already have to a more sustainable model. And sustainability is a concept a lot of people talked about with Westbrook this year. You know, is what he's doing sustainable? And I think a lot of people looked at it from an individual standpoint. Is what he's doing sustainable? Is he going to exhaust himself and thus fall off at the end of the year? Obviously, that didn't happen. He didn't exhaust himself. But I don't think that was a sustainable playoff offense. It was one of the more one-dimensional offenses in the entire league. And I think something that we've seen from playoff games this year and years in the past is that offenses that are so centered around one guy become easier to defend in the playoffs. And there's a simple reason why. It's not just because of the cliche that defenses are better in the playoffs or the game slows down in the playoffs. Not for any cliche reason. It's because even the best players ever, the Jordans and the LeBrons and the Magics and the Larry Birds and the Wilts and the Kareems, the best players ever, it doesn't matter who you are, there's one human tendency we all have. Every single player has spots that he likes and spots he doesn't like. And when you play a guy on back-to-back-to-back-to-back games, and maybe more than that, you realize the spots they like and they don't like. You know, players often, maybe not the coaches as much, but the players often forget during a regular season. They forget on night to night exactly what every single player's tendency is. And as the game goes on, it slowly comes back to everybody. where they slowly realize even more things maybe they didn't already know. During a playoff series, it sticks with them. And that's kind of why it becomes tougher during, as you go deeper into a playoff series, it becomes tougher to score. That's kind of the reason why. And it becomes even more extreme when you've got an offense as one-dimensional as the one the Thunder have. A lot of people say that's the way the Thunder needed to play. I don't buy that. I've never buyed that. That's the way that Westbrook wants to play. And there weren't a lot of offensive weapons around him, but nobody needs to have the highest usage rate of all time. Nobody needs that. And they are going to have other priorities this year. They're going to try to get a backup point guard. They're going to try to get some more shooting. They're going to try to implement some more offensive weapons. But one of the goals for next year will be to scheme a different type of offense around Russell Westbrook. One to where he can still maintain the same amount of success, but the team can actually play a better type of team offense. And I'm intrigued to see how that's going to be. And assuming Russell Westbrook is still around next year, I'm intrigued to see how he's going to handle that. Before we move on, I just want to take a quick second to talk about SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go to look for tickets to a game or concert. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I just used it the other day to look at tickets for a Yankee game, which I'm going to Yankees Royals tonight. I'm recording this on Wednesday afternoon. Going to Yankees Royals tonight. I'm actually home in New York for a little bit. I'm excited. I get to see Luis Severino. And that's all because I got those tickets on SeatGeek. And everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save the time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, click Add a Promo Code, enter the promo code LO Thunder, that's LO like locked on, and SeatGeek is going to give you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Thunder today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Next up, let's put Norris Cole and Samaje Christen together, the two backup point guards. They've been meshed together for much of the season, so let's do it for this episode. I'm surprised Norris Cole didn't get, well, I'm not surprised now, but I was surprised in the moment that Norris Cole didn't get much of a chance. You know, I thought he would. The Thunder gave him a fully guaranteed minimum deal. There were other options out there, potentially other point guards they could potentially go with. They did choose to bring in Cole. Now maybe those other options weren't great. And I guess their logic was that Cole was the best one or the most attainable one or the best option for this organization specifically. But he still only got 3.5 games of a chance. He was the first point guard off the bench for his first game there, his second game there, his third game there, his fourth game there. And then in the midst of his fourth game with the Thunder, Samaje Christen came in, and then Christen took over the backup point guard spot again. And Christen kind of had a whole season like that, right? Where he wasn't supposed to make the team out of training camp. They released Ronnie Price, which was their most inexplicable move of the last few years, I would say. There have been more detrimental ones. But that was the most inexplicable one, I would say, because giving Ronnie Price a second year, it was guaranteed. And I've talked about this on the podcast so many times. It just doesn't make sense. Why they would give Ronnie Price, they're paying Ronnie Price $2.4 million for 2017-18. It didn't make any sense to guarantee a second year to Ronnie Price when there was no market for that. Anyway, they cut Ronnie Price so they could bring in Samaje Christen because Cameron Payne was hurt and Christen ended up being the backup. Payne came back, Christen went back to backup, but he still actually sporadically got some minutes because Billy Donovan has been a big supporter of him and a big fan of his. And Billy Donovan's a big reason why Christen ended up being on the team over Ronnie Price to begin with, because Billy Donovan had so much faith in Christen and he's a big fan of his. They trade Payne, Christen goes back to the backup, they sign Cole, Christen goes back to third string, and then after four games, Christen goes back to the backup. Donovan always talks about how he likes Christian's defense, but it's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that because he played him in crunch time off the ball next to Russell Westbrook. And he always talks about his on-ball defense. But he was playing him in crunch time situations, close fourth quarter situations, where he was playing off the ball next to Russell Westbrook. And Donovan's obviously a Christian fan. And I know he's not just saying that he's a Christian fan. It's true. It's a real thing. Because he wouldn't be playing him in those fourth quarter off ball moments if he didn't have faith in him. That wouldn't be the face. He just kind of kept reverting to him. And I kind of thought Cole was going to get a chance. He never really got his chance. He played in game one of that playoff series against Houston. He was inactive for game two. This is Cole. He actually played game three and four when Christian was inactive for those games. Played the final 2 seconds of game five when they got eliminated. Now that final game, that game five, that was kind of Billy Donovan on truth serum. Because when a coach is pushed up into an elimination game, that's when you kind of know, you can judge from the actions and not just from the words and the things he says and stuff like that. All right, this is truly what he believes about this player or this set or this play or this scheme or this kind of thing that he is doing or whatever it is. And you might be on the fence about what he's saying. It's the coach on truth serum because he's got to do whatever he can possibly do to win that game when he's in an elimination situation, obviously. And Billy Donovan on truth serum, with the team down 3-1, decided not to play either Christian or Cole. And he went with Victor Oladipo as his backup point guard, even though Oladipo was starting, you know, his starting shooting guard and his backup point guard. Now, something a lot of people, myself included, wondered if he was going to do in the regular season. He didn't. He waited until game five of, you know, an elimination game five. In order to try it, it was too late. It was off. It looked flustered. He never tried it in the regular season. The Thunder had one of the worst backup point guard situations in the league this year. They tried to cover it up by playing Christian a lot of minutes, by cycling in Cole, by seeing what Payne could do. But they admitted that that was the case in Game 5 when they went away from both their point guards. They only played Russell Westbrook as their only point guard in that game. That was the admission that they have backup point guard troubles. Now there are ways to remedy it. I think I can't imagine that they're going to have that the issue will be that dire next year. Maybe it'll still be a problem. Who knows what they're going to end up doing? But I can't imagine it will be that dire next year. They've got some options. They've got a mid-level exception. They've got a biannual exception. They could make a trade. They could sign a minimum player who could end up contributing more than Christian or Cole did this year. Any of those possibilities are perfectly legitimate and are extremely plausible. Cole's an unrestricted free agent. Educated guess is he's going to be elsewhere next year. I don't know where, but elsewhere. Christian's non-guaranteed. He's non-guaranteed for 2017-18, non-guaranteed for 2018-19. His contract guarantees on July 7th, so it's not like the Thunder have that much time to figure it out, but they have a week of free agency, a week of negotiating before they actually have to make an official call on whether they're going to guarantee Christian's contract for next year or not. Don't be surprised if he stays around. He's on a cheap minimum deal. He's still young. He was just a rookie this year. Billy Donovan really has a lot of faith in him. They like him as a defensive player. They like him as a locker room guy. There's a strong possibility he's around next year. He just might not be in the same role. He might be in a backup role, depending on who else that they're able to bring in to play behind Westbrook. Finally, let's get to Alex Abrines. Speaking of playing time, a lot of those crunch time minutes where Christian's playing off the ball, a sub 20% three-point shooter's playing off the ball. That was Alex Abrines was on the bench in those minutes. Led the team in three-point percentage. Led a team that was last in the NBA in three-point percentage. Could have played more. Shot 42% from three after December 21st on. And that's something that the Thunder can improve on next year. Like I talk about just using assets the right way. They didn't have to be last in three-point percentage. They just played the guys who made them last in three-point percentage. They played Christian. And they, you know, let Andre Roberson continue to take threes. And they played Abrines 15 and a half minutes a game. And they played McDermott inconsistent minutes, sometimes 0 minutes. You know, McDermott gets more and Abrines gets more minutes. They got the randomly falling off season from Anthony Morrow. Lord knows why he was 29% from three in the time he was in Oklahoma City when he had never come close to that percentage in his entire career. They wouldn't have even been a good three-point shooting team. They were still going to be a bottom 10 three-point shooting team. They don't have shooting. But they made a decision as an organization where they weren't going to play shooters as much as they could have. And I think it hurt their offense. And Abrines is one of those guys who I anticipate is going to play more because of that, because I can't imagine that smart basketball people could look back on this, see the development that Alex Abrines had throughout this year. He handles the ball a little bit better than his reputation says he can. he improved as a team defender. There's no question. Watch him early in the year, and he's totally lost defensively. By the end of the year, he's a little bit better. He's like a playable team defender with the way that he shoots the ball. Russell Westbrook actually passes him the ball, by the way, which is a thing. Russell Westbrook doesn't pass a lot of people the ball. He passes Alex Abrines the ball. That 1-2 pick and roll they have is really nice. I like it when they run that 1-2 pick and roll. Abrines slips the screen, pops to the wing, and Westbrook will almost always find him. And he gets a lot of open threes that way. And I think Abrines is going to play a lot more minutes next year. He opens up the floor for Westbrook a lot more. And if he can be still intellectually improve as a team defender, which he was doing, it's not like he's really good at it, but he put himself in a position to where he was playable by the end of the year, which was a nice improvement from early in the year. And if he can take another step and become maybe slightly below average, or even get up to just average team defender, he's never going to be a great on-ball defender. He's not extremely quick laterally, and he's obviously super slender. He's never going to be a great on-ball defender, but he's a great shooter. He could be a really, really good shooter. He could be a real contributor, and he's a piece that they really need. He's a type of player that this team really needs, that this team could really find valuable, and I think he's going to get a lot more than 15 minutes a game next year. Now, Victor Oladipo is still going to be the starting shooting guard, but I think Abrines is going to get a lot more than 15 minutes a game next year. I think that role is going to expand a lot, so the Thunder can just get some more shooting on the floor, because they're strapped down a little bit. They're over the cap. They're not going to be able to bring in just, you know, five shooters. That's not going to be a thing. They're not capable of making those moves, and they have other needs and other things they need to bring in. And one of the ways that they can improve the shooting is just by playing their shooters. Just play their shooters. And Alex Abrines is their best one. You can remember I'm on every Tuesday and Thursday. No more player evaluations. We're done with the player evaluation stuff. So going to find a new thing to do on Thursdays. I'm going to start with draft coverage stuff soon. I'm watching lots of Synergy film and that kind of stuff and catching up on all these draft guys who I don't really watch during the season. I don't really watch college. I don't watch. I used to love college. I used to watch college all the time. I grew up a bigger college fan than I did NBA fan. And now it's hard to watch when you're on the beat of a team and you're trying to catch up on other NBA teams when the Thunder aren't playing and that kind of stuff. So I'm watching Synergy. I'm watching every kind of defensive play that these guys could possibly guard, every kind of offensive play these guys could possibly be in. So I'm trying to learn, especially about the guys who the Thunder could potentially take. Trying to learn as much as I can, and then I'm going to start on these draft previews and going to get some good guests on in the meantime as well. You can head on to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com or find me on Twitter @FredKatz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. You can see the player evaluations there. You can see my articles there. I'm writing every Monday through Friday. And that's my writing schedule as of now. You can check out Thunder Road. That's specifically my blog to follow my team coverage and see what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. I'm going to be back on Tuesday with a guest and a fun episode. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.